You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Money's tight, but thanks to the Northern Illinois Food Bank, my kids don't have to go to school on an empty stomach. We are so grateful for all they've done to help us in these tough times.
I feel good knowing the dollars I contribute support such great programs, and that I'm able to help so many hungry people right here in my own community.
Northern Illinois Food Bank makes it possible for my food pantry to provide quality, nutritious food to all our neighbors in need. They truly deserve their new award as Food Bank of the Year for everything they do.
At Northern Illinois Food Bank, we're proud of the accomplishments we've made and the number of lives we've been able to impact every day. But we still need your help to reach even more individuals, families, and children in need. Visit foodbankoftheyear.org to learn more.
Hi, I'm Dennis Smith, CEO of Northern Illinois Food Bank. Help us in our vision to create a hunger-free Northern Illinois. Donate today, volunteer, get involved.
You can help make a difference, too. Log on to foodbankoftheyear.org to get started.
This is a WRMN roving report.
Reporting live from the WRMN roving report, Dan. I am an unpaid intern, and the marathon is only 4 days away, and the Savengers and I are kind of lost.
We're in Lake Geneva.
Look at the water parks. Look at the cabins. Look at the sunrays.
We have no time to stop, Bugman. I need to get directions. Here, let's ask this nice lady standing on the side of the road. Excuse me!
What can I do for you?
That's some pretty funky music that just started playing.
You like that? That's my theme song. You see, I'm Redial.
Redial.
And if anybody asks, I'm not a spy. I'm just very mysterious.
You're pretty!
Thanks!
Friend unpaid intern, we could use her during the July marathon!
I've heard all about you and your July marathon, a mere 4 days away. But for right now, I'm busy. I'll show up just when you need me. You'll see.
So how do we get out of here?
Keep going down this road and hang a left. You'll end up where you need to go, or my name isn't... Redial.
Okay, thanks. That is all.
We're getting excited and counting down the days. Go to the website, WRMN1410.com. That's WRMN1410.com, to find out more information on the next marathon. Call the business office at 847-741-7700 from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday to update an address or credit card. Check out our marathon list at WRMN1410.com. Just click on Marathon Show to find out all the great items we'll have for our next marathon. And stay tuned and get those dialing fingers ready on July 13th, 14th, and 15th for the July Marathon. Go to WRMN1410.com and click on Marathon Show for more details.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Doing well now that the weather has kind of cleared out. Oh, and got a
boy,
bit cooler.
That's kind of rough,
it
huh?
It was a stretch. I had a couple days in a row that were hot. It was fine, but the stretch of 8, 9, maybe 10 days.
I was finishing a garage in the that sweltering heat.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how you did
rough.
It.
It was a little rough.
You work at night or you work all day long? I'd rather do it in the evening or early morning or something.
Yeah, actually, well, that's kind of difficult to do sometimes.
Okay, I'll just ask him.
So, you know, I got it done. So, yeah, maybe I'm feeling the effects now. a little lackadaisical.
How could you not?
So I think last time between our last show and now, the Supreme Court destroyed my prediction.
Yeah.
And passed on health care with Chief Justice Roberts being the deciding vote.
Mm-hmm.
Not Kennedy, but Roberts. And that, in thinking back, it makes sense because Roberts is then. I never liked him, folks. I wonder what the conservatives think about him now. He's the one that really expressed support during the nomination process. Of the so-called Unitarian presidency, where the executive pretty much just whatever damn well pleases of thing. So he's an authoritarian. Why should the conservatives be surprised? That's their legacy. And I saw an interesting, what do you call those? Well, those little visual things on the internet, you know, the Republicans are the ones who introduced this health care. That was the Heritage Foundation back in 1992.
Okay.
They're the ones who implemented. That would be Governor Romney in Massachusetts, you know. And it goes the whole through thing. And now they're complaining.
Well, come on. That's how it goes. If it's good, we did it. If it's bad, they did it.
Well, that's the thing. The Republicans, Democrats, they're in it for the power, folks. Mm-hmm. They're in it for the power. Republicans are not limited government people. Get it through your head. If you elect Romney, and I don't know if it's even possible, but if he's by some, the economic news out there should be enough to just trounce Obama. He should just be being trounced by the polls right now, but he's not because it's Romney who's going to be so supposedly going to be running against him. What a joke, folks. You Republicans who think, well, you know, our lesser evil guy is better than that more evil guy, Obama. You got some surprises coming. In my opinion, we'll see. Romney's going to be worse because it's the trend of government. And until somebody like Ron Paul gets elected, I'm sorry, folks. We're toast in this country and toast in the world.
Ken, does Romney have a running mate yet?
No, he does not. That won't happen until probably. He hasn't announced anything, and it probably won't happen until the Tampa convention, which is, I guess, late August.
No word of who it might be, no speculation. Do you have any predictions?
Whatever they're worth.
Well, I know when you make a prediction, that's it. They listen to your show, and whatever Ken says, we do the opposite. So I'm kind of wondering what you're... So if you think, you know, there's no way that Ron Paul should be president, you said something like that, next thing you know, he'd be president, so...
Well, looking at it rationally... But I'm not saying that the Republicans would do or Romney would do the rational thing.
Sure, sure.
And looking at some indicators, it seems to me the only way Romney is going to win is with Ron Paul's support, which I don't see how it's going to happen. But Rand Paul came out endorsing Romney really early, considered mm-hmm. where he when he should have if he was going to. And I think, I guess, and I'm not sure I like this, but I think there might be a lot of surprises, and I think Rand Paul actually might be the nominee for vice president.
Okay.
Again, I'm not even sure if that would help the ticket that much. They think it would, I think. And maybe it would. Maybe just some diehards like me wouldn't care. Because I'm going to write Ron Paul's name in if I have to. But, well, so that would be... my guess, I guess Mitch Daniels isn't interested. I still think Mitch Daniels would be one possibility. If people are talking about Jeb Bush. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But I still am holding out a little smidgen of hope that things get so bad and people realize Romney is not the answer that Ron Paul still could get nominated in Tampa. I mean, I'm not saying I put any money on it. But it's just that little smidgen of hope.
It's a glimmer.
Glimmer Hope, of course, the more major event will be happening before the Tampa convention, which is via this Ron Paul celebration of liberty. I forget what they're calling it, but it's at the Tampa Fairgrounds for 3 days. Prior to that, a lot of big name people, Thomas Woods will be there, and Lou Rockwell, and a bunch of others. So I don't know. Tampa's a long way, but I'd really like to get to that. All right, let's go on to the stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week. And I think we're going to go to, okay, folks, let's see. I mean, you name the regulations, if it's food freedom or, you know, whatever, any kind of economic freedom. Now it's gotten down to religion. Michael Salmon is facing 2 months in jail and a $12,000 fine for holding a Bible study in his home in Phoenix, Arizona. 2 months in jail and a $12,000 fine for a Bible study. Now, this Bible study, he's not attracting thousands of people. He's attracting maybe 15, 20 people, which is... You know, what people attract, and I'm not sure if it's once a week or once a month, you know, it doesn't matter to me. People have parties all the time attracting a bunch of cars to their house. 20 or more, absolutely. 40 or 60 sometimes. But evidently the town of, I guess, Phoenix, I don't know if it's a suburb of Phoenix, to be honest with you, or Phoenix proper. But they've decided that they wanted to regulate that because he's attracting too many people. Now, the Salmon guy pointed out that if somebody was holding a poker game, they wouldn't be trying to regulate him. But he's holding Bible study, and they want him to get permits. He actually built a separate building just to go along with their already complaints and regulations. He built a separate building on his property just for the Bible studies. And that wasn't enough. Now they say he has to go get permits for holding Bible study. So, again, especially you Christian conservatives out there, I'd like to say, what do you think of that? Is it gone too far now? Has it gone now too far now? Do you understand that freedom is indivisible? And that you can't regulate one thing without it mirror principling coming around, what goes around comes around back at you. That once you establish that principle that government can regulate every aspect of your lives, that's exactly what they're going to do. And they're going to regulate not only those things that you want them to regulate, but things that you don't want them to regulate. And that's where we're at now. We are at now, folks. Where the government regulates every aspect of your lives, it's totalitarianism. I'm sorry, no, it's not totalitarianism like the Russia, Soviet Union or Nazi Germany in the sense that there are millions of being murdered by government yet, but everything is in place. Everything is in place, including indefinite detention without right of habeas corpus. They could hold you forever and not even tell anybody about it. If you're a political enemy, they can just go and get you and throw you in jail and throw the key away. Go to Guantanamo, just throw you back in Guantanamo Bay, where they're now laying fiber optic cable from Florida to Cuba, evidently. That's how permanent they think Guantanamo Bay is. So much for Obama shutting down Guantanamo Bay. Another lie by another president prospect who gets elected and just sticks it to all the American citizens as far as their freedoms are concerned. So they can do that. They can go and they can assassinate you. They can just say that you're a terrorist. You're a terrorist, we're going to eliminate you. We're going to take a drone and we're going to attack you and eliminate you. And now they did it in Yemen. They did it to somebody, American citizen's son, who was also American citizen, a week later. And there are drones out there now in the United States. So it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time, folks, before the United States government murders a U.S. citizen on U.S. soil without any due process of law through a drone attack. Well, they already do it with SWAT team raids, but you know those are not on purpose, of course, supposedly. But to purposely come in and murder an American citizen, no due process of law. It's happened outside of the United States. I'm predicting to you it's going to happen in this country. We live in a totalitarian state. And to pursue that more, we're having a problem connecting with our guest.
I'm calling everybody I know how. He's not answering quite yet.
So, but Peter Kennedy, who is the president of FarmToConsumer.org, he's an attorney who fights for food freedom. And until we can get a hold of him, I'll talk a little bit about what's going on with food freedom. And by the way, that was the Fox Valley Libertarian Party's message at the Independence Day parade in Elgin, where we had a little, you know, prototype of a supposed eight-year-old girl selling lemonade in shackles. Someone else is selling raw milk in shackles. Someone else is selling vitamins in shackles. Shackled by yours truly. He was playing the part of the FDA thug. And it was pretty effective. And we passed out a flyer on food freedom. And a lot of people got it. There are a few puzzled faces. But a lot of people got it. The theme, by the way, was food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For the parade, so we managed to relate to the theme, and I'd say it was pretty darn well received.
Well, good. Give someone to talk about anyway.
Absolutely. So, at any rate, so to go along with that, there's a great DVD out there. Maybe I'm not sure how to get a hold of it, but I assume if you just searched Farmageddon on the internet, you'll find out how to get a hold of this. It's called Farmageddon, and it's a documentary on how family farmers are losing all their rights in this country. See, what happens is when we've been talking about over and over again, and what so many liberals and the progressives don't get. They want to regulate the corporations, so they want to increase regulations all the time. They don't get it, is that the corporations and the regulators are in bed together. And I don't care what agency you're talking about, but it's particularly true with the Department of Agriculture and the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. They are in bed for the big corporate farmers, the big food producers, and they're trying to snuff out any semblance of resistance to this, to corporate food, corporate farms, corporate drugs, any resistance at all through the thugs at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the FDA, and the state, those state regulatory agencies regulating those. And this documentary does a fantastic job showing what's happening. There are people who are setting up food co-ops. They're private clubs where they purchase what they believe in is the healthiest food they can for them and their family, which is organic, which includes raw milk or byproducts of raw milk like cheese and yogurt and butter. And it's not a public sale thing. It's a private club. Farmers are supplying these to these co-ops, and people are buying from them. So what's happening? The government thugs are coming in with guns, SWAT teams, and arresting people who run the food co-ops and also the farmers themselves. A lot of these are being challenged in court. I haven't heard much good news yet. So far, the courts are upholding this thuggery. But in certain states now, certain states you can get raw milk legally, even at retail. There's a lot of states you can't. And again, and you would think, you know, oh, let's, for example, Wisconsin, America's Dairyland, right? You had this image in your head of the individual farmer with his dairy cows and, you know, this nice pastoral scene of Americana. And the reality is Wisconsin's one of the states that forbids any type of sale of raw milk, not even to pets. And in a sense, it makes sense to me. If Wisconsin's the biggest dairyland state, why is it? It's probably because agribusiness controls it. So the areas that agribusiness controls, the states they control more than any others, those are the ones that are going to have the most onerous regulations. And there's this guy, what's his name, Hirschberger, selling raw. Yeah, he was selling in Wisconsin, selling raw milk to co-ops in Sauk County. That's just north of. I don't know if that's Madison also, but I know it's just north of Madison, like Baraboo and around Devil's Lake area, the Dells. I think that's all Sauk County. Anyway, they're throwing everything they can at him for just selling raw milk to co-ops. It's disheartening watching this documentary. It's so disheartening to see these really just average, normal people, and not so average. There was one, I think, was it Vermont, I think, where the husband was a climate scientist for the government. The wife is a professor of biology. Very well-read, you know, people who study the issues type people. And they got raided for, I'm trying to think if it was raw milk or not. It doesn't really matter. It just, you know, whatever produce they're producing. Oh, no, it was sheep. It was like, oh, this is pretty incredible, too. It was, they imported some lambs from Belgium to milk the lambs for, lamb's milk, whatever, sheep milk. and they went through an arduous process doing this. All the lambs were inspected by various different regulatory groups. All passed clean, fine colors. And there's, especially, they're checking for mad cow disease. No sheep has ever been found to have mad cow disease anywhere in the world. But they were checked for that, came clean. They finally were able to bring them in at a cost of like $5,000 per sheep. And they started, they started their milking business with the sheep. And the authorities came in, ostensibly only to inspect, and they ended up confiscating the sheep and annihilating them, burning them up, and then the remains mixed with lye so that, there could be no remnants. And, of course, they did supposedly test on it first. All the tests were negative. There was no smidgen of evidence that any of these sheep had any kind of diseases at all. They're perfectly healthy. And actually, the bureaucrats admitted, the thug bureaucrats admitted, actually, that's a redundancy, isn't it? Thug bureaucrat. They admitted to him that it was political, that they had political pressures. Now, what would those political pressures possibly be? Could that possibly be that agribusiness pays for congressmen to stay in office? It's really, really disgusting, folks, what's going on in the food business, the agriculture business. If you had any notions to going back to the farm life and doing something simple and growing organic. Oh, by the way, another lady was interviewed who just grows organic, and they point out that the reason organic foods cost so much more than regular foods is not so much. It's not so much that the production is more expensive, but that there are so many piles and piles of regulatory forms that the organic farmers have to fill out. It's almost cost prohibitive. And of course, the big agribusiness guys, they can fill out those forms with no problem because they're big. It's what I've been saying over and over again on this program, folks, is that what regulations do is not bind the big corporations like some of you think that they do or should. It always binds the little guy. You build a better mousetrap. Instead of having customers knock your door, you got the taxmen and the regulators. And they'll keep you out of business to keep the big corporations in business. I understand we do have Peter Kennedy with us now. Peter, welcome to to Freedom Rings.
Morning.
I've been giving a little bit of heads up before we got you on about what's going on. I just watched Farmageddon last night, and I guess not so surprised, but still outraged and saddened that what is happening in this country, that in so many states, you can't, this notion of the family farmer and just doing what was done so well for so many centuries in this country and elsewhere. It seems to be getting regulated out of existence. So you're president of farmtoconsumer.org, and you're fighting all this. How's that going?
it's a slow fight. I mean, you make progress farm by farm. The regulatory climate is different state by state. So in some states we see the regulatory climate improving. In other states, there's still a lot of pushback from the government agencies. So it's basically progress is one farmer at a time and one state at a time. Overall, I'd say the climate's getting better, but this is something that isn't going to be solved overnight.
Now, there's this case, the Hirschberger case in Wisconsin. Has that gone to trial yet? He's selling row
marks. It looks like it will. And that's one of the states where, there has been pushback. They're trying to to criminalize just a contractual arrangement between members of a private buyer's club who are leasing cows from this farmer. There's never been any allegation that the food from the farm has made anyone sick. You know, this is an arm's length transaction. This group that's leased the cows from him is very happy. Vernon wants to continue doing it. It's just that this isn't in line with corporate and government sanctioned food, and so they are taking some action where they're really wasting the taxpayers' resources. It's a private arrangement, and really the state shouldn't be involved.
Would you say that big corporate agribusiness is very strong in Wisconsin? Is there a correlation between...
Well, the dairy industry is very strong. Yeah, I mean, there are more dairy farms in Wisconsin than any other state in the country by far.
Right.
And they actually passed a bill by wide margins in both Wisconsin Senate and General Assembly to legalize the sale of raw milk a couple of years ago. And after the bill went through the legislature and was on the governor's desk, the dairy lobby basically rolled the governor and convinced him to veto it, where initially after the bill was passed, he indicated he was going to sign it.
How long ago was that?
2010.
2010. Was that Governor Walker then, or was that previous
Doyle.
Bill? Pardon me?
It was Jim Doyle, yeah.
Oh, Doyle. Do we know, yeah. Does Governor Walker take a position? I mean, I would hope that Walker... would be in favor of making
you hope, but you don't know. I mean, he seems to have gotten the support of the dairy industry, so when push comes to shove, you don't really know, I think, at this point, how that's going to turn out.
So the politician, you know, it seems like the politicians are pretty much bought and paid for by the corporate agribusiness.
I'll give you another example. Just the other state where there's a lot of pushback is Minnesota. There's one farmer who's got two criminal trials scheduled in different counties this summer. There's another farmer who had criminal charges brought against him in another county. And just to give you an idea of Minnesota, there are all kinds of food corporations that are headquartered there. You have Cargill, you have General Mills, you have Hormel, you have Pillsbury, you have Land O'Lakes.
Wow, that's
which
huge.
Is you know, mainly Dean Foods as far as the dairy industry now. And they tried to pass a raw milk bill there. We're having a tough time. Just wanted an informational hearing. I mean, that's all this was. It wasn't going to go anywhere, even if the hearing went well, and between the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, Minnesota Department of Health, and the corporations, 14 lobbyists, contacted the head of the Senate committee trying to hold the informational hearing and convinced him to kill him. You know, it was just a simple hearing.
That's a tough nut to crack. I mean, I can think of a lot of other public policy areas where the same thing is happening, and it just seems that since the corporations have so much control through financing of campaigns and who knows what else, how do you stop that?
Well, yeah, I mean, what happens is you otherwise law-abiding citizens resorting to criminal, civil disobedience because their food choices have been criminalized.
Now, it seems to me, watching Farmageddon, that I didn't get the perception that these people who are being harassed by the bureaucrats are egging for a fight. I mean... It doesn't seem like they just want to, you know, fight government. It seems to me they just wanted to earn a living, do what their professional profession that they know, and they're getting harassed. I mean,
there should be a right to be left alone. I mean, the agencies don't recognize that right. I mean, there's already enough of incentive for them to produce just healthy, safe food without this big regulatory scheme they're facing right now. If they make anyone sick, they can be charged with adulteration.
Right.
They can be sued by personal injury lawyers. So there are plenty of incentives there. Legal incentives to produce healthy food, and just this additional regulation prevents a lot of them from being in business. They don't have the economies of scale. And when someone, you know, like some of the people you see in Farmageddon just are determined to go ahead and provide people the food they want, they wound up facing that kind of harassment.
I found it interesting to see that the history of how milk became mandatorily pasteurized, how, you know, it used to be, everybody in the United States drank raw milk until, what, late 1890s or something like that, or 1870s. I guess something happened. Some people died from drinking raw milk. Can you give us a little more
history? Well, they started moving some of these dairies into the cities. The sanitation was awful. They were feeding byproducts from the, you know, nearby distilleries to their animals. And, yeah, a lot of people die, but it wasn't the product itself. It was the conditions. It was how the product was produced. And just the way some of these public health officials continued to react is like it's like the same conditions exist today when they don't. They've just been, you know, you have refrigeration now, many other improvements that it's almost like these officials have ignored it to some extent, and they're in a time warp.
Yeah, what they say is, you know, we're just trying to protect the consumer from this bad bacteria. But what happens when you pasteurize milk? What it kills all sorts of bacteria, right? Is there bad bacteria? And is there good bacteria?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but it kills bad bacteria and good bacteria, and they're, what you see is there are probably more outbreaks where people get sick from drinking raw milk, but they're localized. The numbers are much smaller. When people get sick from drinking pasteurized milk, you get some big outbreaks. There was one in, I think, the 80s where close to 200,000 people were sick, at least,
right?
According to just the government and medical profession who reviewed this particular case. And it's, I think overall both raw milk and pasteurized milk have a good track record for safety. But, yeah, just to say that you're not going to get sick if you drink pasteurized milk, that's not true at all.
Yeah, and there's a lot of testimony of people who drink raw milk that where they've, you know, eliminated diseases or bad, you know, like, I think, was it asthma? One lady had asthma?
Well, right. There have been studies saying that helps can asthma, among other conditions. But, you know, I mean, what it all boils down to is freedom of choice anyway.
Right.
I mean, the pro-pasteurization control, crowd control, all the science that they want, but it's a legal product to consume. People who want to consume it should be able to have access.
Well, that's what America was supposed to be about, I thought, was freedom of choice. Now they're treating us like children. We can't think for us.
That's right. Especially some of these public health agencies, they think, that they know what's best for you, not you, and that you have to be led around by the nose. And when you look at all the foods that have been approved and just their harmful effects from just products like MSG, aspartame, and high fructose corn syrup. If that's protection, I say people should have the right to waive the protection of the public health laws.
Yeah. We're talking with Peter Kennedy. He is the president of farmtoconsumer.org. The phone number here is 847-931-1410 if you'd like to give us a call. And we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Peter Kennedy about food freedom. And what do you say we go to the phones, Peter?
Sure. And by the way,
yes. It's
the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. Our website is farmtoconsumer.org.
Okay.
Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund.
Very good. All right. Yeah. We have John. Hey, John.
Hi.
Hey, John.
Mr. Kennedy, I saw the film, the Farmageddon film, and I was wondering if the examples that were selected for the film are typical, or were these people selected by the government agencies for a particular purpose to make examples of them or whatever?
I think it's different case to case. I think, with something like the Rawson raid in near the health food store out in California. I think there are a number of government agencies that were involved in investigating them for a while before that happened. And then you've...
And the raw milk's supposed to be legal in, to sell to the public in California.
Yeah, it was legal in California. I mean, I think they claimed the raw milk at the store was from an unlicensed source. Yeah, then you get another case like Manor Storehouse there where they kept that family at gunpoint for, I think it was 6 hours, where that was just a dispute over licensing. I mean, it's... You know, I think it was like a third-degree misdemeanor there where, I mean, the family had no prior record. It was just a good-faith dispute over licensing, and they wound up sending something equivalent to a SWAT team over there.
Which holding children at gunpoint?
Yeah, held the family at gunpoint in this one room in the house while they, conducted their search.
I would think most people hear the story, they wouldn't believe that this is happening in the United States of America.
Yeah, I mean, you just get these agencies that they're out of control. We're seeing in other areas in this country, obviously, too, but just that maybe it's home a little stronger where it's comes to something as basic as wanting to... obtain the foods of your choice.
Right. John, you have anything else?
Yeah, for you, Ken, it's, the film is available at Amazon and Netflix and iTunes.
It's also available on our website. If you go to farmtoconsumer.org, we have an online store. Appreciate any support you can give us. I mean, we're just a true grassroots organization that relies mainly on membership fees for individuals, private donations. I mean, we get no funding from the government, little or no corporate funding. It's mostly just about all small business. So, I mean, it's one way you can help us by patronizing our online store.
Has this film been introduced any to the film festivals? You know, Sundance comes to mind, or...
I don't think so. You know, it's still gotten around quite a bit. I mean, originally they were just started running it, I think, in June 2011 at small theaters around the country, and it stayed it stayed in the theaters, I think, a lot longer than the producer, Kristen Caney, expected. And she's made these other distribution agreements where there seems to be just as much interest in it today as when it was first introduced over a year ago, if not more.
I would think so. And I would think somebody like Robert Redford, I would think he'd be very interested in this stuff. You know, if you can get to some kind of major film festival as good as you can do on the internet, I think then it could just... I mean, I would love to see this DVD in the hands of, you know, almost every American. I think it could really help to bring about a fundamental shift in this country of how we go about things. Because I think, as you said, when you come to as basic a thing as food, and that they're even regulating that so much with such authoritarian manner, that maybe a lot of people's heads will, the people will wake up.
Yeah, because they're really two food systems. I call it, the one, the conventional or industrial food system, has almost all the food dollar, probably 98%. But then there's the people who patronize the farms, the farmers' markets, that represent the other 2%. But so they're aware of what's going on, but just too many of the other 98% are not. And it's Farmageddon's a great way to get the word out about what is actually happening to people whose food choices don't agree with the government.
It's amazing that 2% of the people is such a threat to agribusiness. You would think, oh, it's just 2%.
Agribusiness works on such small margins Is that even getting that 2% back would be a lot for him. Yeah. And that, you know, I think that's one reason. The other reason is I think just the quality is better in this local food overall by a good margin. And, yeah, the time could come where that 2% becomes 5% or possibly 10%. And then
that's probably,
yeah, the conventional food industry could really be in trouble.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, more and more people see that the emperor's clothes are, that the emperor has no clothes on, basically.
Yeah, I mean, what you've got here is, I mean, you're not just being, the opposition just is an agribusiness. I think it's also the pharmaceutical industry. Because you just have all this chronic disease that's at least today around that's at least partially caused by nutritional deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
So you get some of the substandard food produced by the conventional food system that leads to people having to go into the medical system. So it
and they try to solve the problem by just feeding you a bunch of these pharmaceutical drugs that are killing more people in this country than the illegal ones.
Right, yeah, you don't get sick because you have a drug deficiency. And it's, yeah, what you've got is between agribusiness and the pharmaceutical, you know, just the medical industry, that's somewhere between 20 to 25% of the gross national product. So there's just a huge opposition to this. And, yeah, it goes beyond agribusiness as to why the people... who are trying to exercise their freedom of food choice are getting the pushback they are.
Yeah. You mentioned the 20-25%. In my mind, I'm thinking, boy, you add the military-industrial complex to that, and you're over 50%, and that's why it's very hard to change things in this country. But that's another issue I assume you're not, you don't want to go to.
No.
But, okay, so let's just is there any other cases that we should be particularly interested in that are coming up?
Sure. There's an interesting one right now in Maine. Just what you have is, well, particularly in Maine, is a lot of these small towns there have passed a food sovereignty ordinance, which gives the local producer the right to sell their products direct to the consumer in that town without any licensing or inspection requirement. And that conflicts with the state law. And so the state has actually challenged this food sovereignty ordinance in one of the towns passing it in Maine, and is going after this farmer with two cows, trying to get him to get a permit, trying to get fines against him. And, yeah, it just looks like the federal government has pressured the state to take action against him. So
That's very interesting. And it comes to mind, I don't know if you're familiar with Sheriff Mack. He's he's organized some sheriffs throughout the country educating them on their right and power to stand up to some of this thuggery, because that's the highest elected position in the county. If we have any kind of federalism at all in this country,
I mean, what you have is the FDA with the passage of the Food Safety Modernization Act. I mean, it says there right in the act that there's going to be an integration in many areas of federal, state, and local food safety regulation. And what that means is the feds are going to be calling the shots. And when you look at what FDA's idea of safe food is, and we filed a lawsuit against them challenging an interstate ban on raw milk for human consumption, and they said in that lawsuit that you don't have a fundamental right to obtain the foods of your choice or to feed your children what you think is
or the right to healthy food, I recall, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, people see this coming, and these local food sovereignty ordinances are a response to that, to take back power from the states and put it where it should belong, in the local community.
Well, it sounds like totalitarianism and your fighting to stop it. More power to your Peter Kennedy. I thank you so much for what you're doing. One more time, if people want to get hold of you and help out.
Okay, sure. If you want to find out more about our organization, you can either call us at 703-208-3276. That's 703-208-3276. Or go on the web to www.farmtoconsumer.org.
Peter Kennedy, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, this from Christopher Hedges. So now we live in a nation where doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the press destroys information, religion destroys morals, and our banks destroy the economy.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.